Well, hope you got a handout. Didn't mention it during the announcements, but Brother Jim's good about getting those to you. But if you walk in late, you won't get one unless you just happen to reach down there at the table and pick it up, which I hope that you do that. If not, going back there and get you one, because we're going to be a lot of scripture. We're going to turn to quite a bit, but we're going to also, I'm going to quote quite a bit. I hope you folks, the ones that haven't been around here since the beginning, everybody else knows that I don't apologize for the amount of scripture that I use. I'm here to preach the Word, and so I'm preaching the Word this morning, and we're going to be comparing scripture with scripture to talk about, continue to talk about reasons to rejoice, reasons to rejoice. That's what we began looking at last week. And where we find ourselves this week, and Lord willing, got one more message on this. But today I want us to look at where is the joy? Where is the joy? And Philippians chapter number 3 and Philippians chapter number 4, just two verses that we're going to take a look here, but we'll be looking at a lot more verses. But this is our springboard, if you will, for the message. And in Philippians 3, verse number 1, he said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." So he says, rejoice in the Lord. Then chapter 4 and verse number 4, he tells them again. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, our natural reaction to what Paul says in these two verses might not be what the Apostle Paul was looking for. We would look at it and say, well, that just don't seem like it's possible. There's no way. Get real. That's too much to ask. To rejoice in everything. Well, that's what the Lord wants from us as a believer. And Paul did not tell his readers to be happy, but rather he encouraged them and us to rejoice in the Lord. Now, I want you to understand in beginning here, there are two serious mistakes that are made pertaining to joy and rejoicing in the Christian life. There are some who make the mistake of thinking God wants the believer to be continually stern. You ever heard, ever seen some of those folks? They just walk around with a very straight face and they're sullen all the time. And there's never any emotional joy in their life, and they believe that you ought not to have emotional joy in the Christian life. Many who believe this way condemn emotional joy and merriment in general. In other words, if you are enjoying it, it must be a sin. My mother used to make homemade cinnamon rolls, and they were great. They were so good, we jokingly called them sin. Because they say anything that's that good had to be a sin. And that's really the way that some folks believe, that anything that is good has got to be a sin. But there are others who make the mistake to identify Christian joy and rejoicing solely with the emotional happiness that's so sought after by the world. You know, people want to be happy. And they'll do whatever they can do to make sure they can be happy. And that, in other words, this happiness or joy, they think that what Paul was talking about, the happiness or joy, is to be based on good happenings in one's life. However, that's not an accurate definition of true biblical joy that Paul was speaking of. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about that God wants you happy all the time. He wants you to rejoice in Him, is what He wants. Paul was implying that although there are many circumstances in which believers may not be happy in those circumstances, they can choose to rejoice and have joy in the Lord and delight in Him. And as we've said before, this was written by a man who was in prison at the time that he wrote this. It was penned by one who had suffered and was suffering severe circumstances in his life that few of us will ever know. But yet, he was able to encourage others to rejoice in the Lord always. Now, let's take a look at the first thing here and understand that there is joy that can extend from certain circumstances or happenings in life in general. And there's nothing wrong with being happy in those times. No problem joying and rejoicing when we find ourselves blessed. Amen. The joy of giving and receiving a special gift. I still love, you know, when birthday comes around. Mine just went by, and some gave me gifts, and I was joyed in that. I appreciate that, and I love giving gifts. I love Christmas time, not so much for getting gifts, but giving gifts and watching the grandkids and enjoy what we give them. And then there's maybe the joy that some are experiencing this time of year, joy of graduating from school. Whether it be high school or college, a lot of folks that are either graduating or getting ready to graduate from school. And I remember the time 50 years ago, coming on 50 years now that I graduated from high school. It's unreal. But I remember the joy of getting done with that 12 years of schooling. And what did I do? I enrolled immediately in college, went to Brunswick Junior College. It was at that time, went during the summer months and studied accounting. And I didn't take a break at all. And but there was joy in graduating from high school. There was joy of getting married. I thank God for my wife. I remember the day we got married. We were coming up on 45 years here on June 14th. This is going to be 45 years together. But I still think fondly of the joy that we experienced of joining together as husband and wife, and God's given us 45 good years, and the joy of the birth of a child. I was in the generation that was allowed to go back for the birth, and I was able to be in there for the birth of both our daughter and our son, even though. They had to get me on the ball to get up from eating my grits. I had breakfast that morning, was out eating grits, thinking she was going to take a while. And she was crowning, and I was down there eating grits. And so they got me up there, but I was in there for the birth of both our son and our daughter. But it was a joy. It was a joyous time when our children were born. I think about the joy of winning. And we all like to win, don't we? We call it the thrill of victory. And I remember the advertisements, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, talking about the Olympics, and those are coming up pretty soon. And we're going to see a lot of folks that have joy in winning the gold medal or a silver medal or a bronze medal. There's the joy of gaining a promotion at work or landing a new job. There's joy of some other happening in your life. Those are the kind of joys we're talking about. Our Heavenly Father freely gives, understand, to both the lost and the saved, certain things that we can and do joy in. Psalm 145, verse number 9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Matthew 5:45 says, "He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Luke 6:35 says He's kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. And Acts 14, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, "He did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And so we know that the Lord is good and giving us things and the ability to have joy and enjoy those things. But we know all too well that the joy that is just based on our circumstances can and often does quickly pass. Amen? It just does. Now let's look at the second thing here. Understand that there is a joy that can extend from circumstances or happenings in our lives as believers. And we should realize that a joy extending from circumstances or happenings in our Christian life can and ought to be a part of our Christian life. One of the words translated as joy in the New Testament could be rendered cheerfulness or calm delight. Let's look at a few things in Scripture. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter number 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 1. And here we see that the word is used to speak of the joy that the angel said that Elizabeth and Zacharias and others would have at the birth of John the Baptist. Look at Luke 1, verse number 13 and 14. Luke 1, verse 13. It says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son." I mean, she'd been barren a long time. They were waiting on this. And it says, "And thou shalt call his name John." Notice verse 14. Here it is. "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." There's going to be a joyous time for them and joyous time for others. And why was that? Well, look at verse 15. "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord." Boy, that's a, you know, if you got children, you want your children, you want the Lord to look down favorably on them, don't you? Amen. Well, you really do. "He shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall neither drink wine nor strong drink." I mean, they didn't have to worry about him ever becoming a drunkard. That was the promise of the Lord there. "He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." And what a blessing. Verse 16, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to their Lord, the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." A lot there to be joyful about. Amen. And so we see this, the word used to speak of that kind of joy. We also see the word for joy is also used to speak of the joy of the wise men when they saw the star in Matthew 2:10. I'm not going to have you turn over there. You're familiar with the story. And it says, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." Well, you know, that star was what started them on their journey. They saw the star and they followed the star and it brought them to Bethlehem. And then the star is what helped bring them to Jesus after they met with Herod. That star reappeared to them and went before them until it stood over where the young child lay. This word is used also to speak of the joy of the women who came to the tomb of Christ, receiving word from the angel of the resurrection of Christ. Look at Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, and we see here in verses 1 through 8 here. Matthew 28, verse 1. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers," the guys guarding the tomb, "did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." Now, think about it. They came really to anoint the body of Jesus. They came to do that. But they got the news, hey, he's not here. He's risen, as he said. And in verse 7, "And go quickly and tell his disciples and that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him." Wow, they were going to see him. "And lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy." You see that? Great joy. "And did run to bring his disciples the word." So there was joy because of the message they received, and there was joy because of the message they were to give. What a blessing. This word is also used in the book of Acts. Look at Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8 and a couple of verses here. But it's used to speak of the joy of those who witnessed the power of the Spirit in the early church. Now, the church is just beginning here. And we see in Acts 8 and verse number 5, Philip ministering. It says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Can I tell you, that's a rejoicing for Philip. When you preach and people hearken to what you have to say and they believe, that's a great thing. Now look at verse 7. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. Notice verse 8. And there was great joy in that city. They were saved from their sin, and they were having this joy because of the preaching of the word, but they were having a joy because of the witness of unclean spirits being deposed, and the and joy of when people witness the miracles of God, and they were witnessing, hey, these folks have been they've had these problems for a long time, and they're healed. This word is also used to speak of the joy of those who are the good and faithful servants and entering into the joy of the Lord in the parable of the talents that the Lord gave in Matthew chapter number 25. Look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. The Lord gives this parable here. Look at verse number 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same, and made him other 5 talents. And likewise, the one that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and he digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, and the Lord whose servant, of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Notice verse 21. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. There's the joy. And the guy with the 2 talents got the same message down in verse 23. He had doubled what he had been given. It was given according to his ability, and he was able to double that, and he got the same, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. What a blessing. There's joy that comes from pleasing the master, isn't there? There's joy that comes from promotion by the master, and there's joy that comes from the rewards of obedience. A third thing I need you to understand this morning is understand there is also a joy that should extend beyond the circumstantial joy in our lives. Philippians 4:4 says, Rejoice in the Lord always. And you know that we don't always have those circumstances that are joyful, do we? There can be great happiness in the Christian life, and we thank God for that, but to think that this is solely what the Bible means by joy and rejoicing is to be an error. A joy based entirely on circumstances can be lost. We know that, don't we? What can cause us to lose our circumstantial joy when circumstances change? Eh? One thing can do that is sin. Look at Psalm 31. Psalm 31. And the psalmist David, we're very familiar with psalmist David, his sin that he hid for a little while, and finally he came clean with God. But Psalm 31, look at verse 9 and 10. He says here, he says, Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief. yea, my soul in my belly. What causes grief? Look at verse 10. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. We see that here that David, his sin was getting to him. Look at chapter 32. This is not this is not in your notes there, but look at verse number 1. Chapter 32, verse 1. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. And then he describes a time when he was in sin. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And of course we have written in Psalm 51, verse 12, where he prayed that prayer. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And yeah, we lose our joy whenever our lives are full of sin, aren't we? We see sinners can also cause us to lose our joy. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 158, he says, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. I don't know about you, but as a lot of times you just choose not to turn the TV on. And sometimes when it's on and something comes across that grieves my heart, sometimes I'll turn it off. Because of the sin that is being pranced and being encouraged and being promoted and being lifted up, it grieves my heart as a man of God and as a Christian that those things are going on. Hebrews 12, verse 3 tells us, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now he's talking about Jesus. Jesus, they came against him. They contradicted him. And he said, you know, it's easy for when folks begin coming against us, and it's coming, by the way. And a lot of folks are already enduring it. But it's coming our way, and we need to consider that, hey, we just need to rejoice in the Lord. The Lord went through these things, and by His grace we can too. Another thing that can cause us to lose our circumstantial joy is our sons and daughters. Proverbs 17, verse 25 says, a foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him. You know, we want the best for our kids, don't we? And we hopefully you raised your children the same way we did. We tried to raise them the best we could with God's help and God's grace. But if they choose not to walk in some area that we taught them to walk in, it can become a grief to us. It can become a bitterness to us, can it? Genesis 26, verse 35, it happened to Isaac and Rebekah. It says, when Esau married two Hittite women, the scripture says that they were a grief of mind to Isaac and to Rebekah. What can cause us to lose our circumstantial joy? Well, sometimes it's sin, sometimes it's sinners, sometimes it's son and daughters, and also sometimes it can be suffering. A wrong attitude towards suffering for the name of Christ. You know, we are to have a proper attitude when it comes to suffering for Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter number 5. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. Many of you know where I'm going to. And Matthew 5, verse number 10 through 12. And we read this, and it seems, that just seems hard to do. But we can, by God's grace, do this. Okay? Look at Matthew 5, verse number 10. It says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. In other words, you try to take a stand for righteousness, you stand for truth and right, and yet you are attacked because of your stance. That's what he's talking about. He said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So sometimes suffering can cause us to lose our joy. Job lost his joy. He didn't understand what was going on. God was getting glory out of his life. Satan was wanting to try to bring Job down, and Job felt like he wasn't getting a fair hearing. He wondered where the Lord was at. Well, the Lord was there all the time. Amen. And he never cursed God through the thing. But he had a wrong attitude toward the suffering that he was enduring in his physical bodies. But the Lord got him through it. And his life wound up being better after the suffering than it was before. Sometimes we can lose our joy because of saints. Now, this is what's sad. Look at 2 Timothy. Paul mentions several right here in 2 Timothy, and chapter number 1 and chapter number 4 as well. And we'll take a look at those. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 15. And he's talking to Timothy here through the letter, through this epistle that he wrote. And he said, this thou knowest, he said that all they which are in Asia, think about that, all that were in Asia be turned away from me. That had to be devastating to the Apostle Paul as far as, he had ministered quite extensively there. But there was two people he mentioned here, of whom are Phygelus and Hermogenes. Now, nothing is known of Phygelus and Hermogenes beyond this single reference. But it's possible that these two defections were the most unexpected by Paul. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 10. And he says, For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Think about it. Demas was ministering with Paul as he wrote the book of Colossians. You can see he was there in Colossians 4:14. I'm not going to turn there. But then something happened. The something that happened is Demas got his eyes on the world rather than keeping his eyes on Christ. And he forsook the Apostle Paul in a critical time. The Apostle Paul needed him, but he forsook him. We see also mentioned down in verse number 14. Look at verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me. Think about that. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. We know that sometimes when you're going to stand, you got to stand alone. And it was with Paul, it was right for him to take the stand that he took. And he did wind up having to face it with just the Lord. As long as you're on the Lord's side, you're never alone. Paul also disputed with Peter face to face over doctrinal issues. We find that in Galatians 2:11. Paul and Barnabas disagreed over taking John Mark on a missionary trip. And they had a little scuffle there going in Acts 15, verse 36 through 40, and they wound up splitting apart. Later, Paul asked for Mark because he saw him to be profitable to him and to the ministry. In fact, back up there in verse number 11, he says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So things change, but there for a while, you know, certain of the saints caused the Apostle Paul to have not really good circumstances that he had going on in his life. And then a passage of Scripture that I've shared with you before, we know that Satan can also have his effect on our lives. He is the main one behind of all the joy stealing that there is. Okay, he is. If you're having your joy stolen, you can just about bet you that Satan is behind that. 1 Peter 5, verse number 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Listen, you're not in it by yourself. You may think, boy, nobody's going through what I'm going through, but you know that there's maybe somebody that's going through worse than what you're going through. He says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So, you know, joy that's based entirely on circumstances can be lost for all of these various reasons that we've looked at. Then we see a joy based on the Lord is where we find true joy. Now, I'm not going to take time to re-preach last week's message, but if you missed last week's message, you need to go online and listen to it. Because I preached it from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, when it talks about that very thing of how we're to, where we find our joy at as believers. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians and chapter number 6. Second Corinthians 6, and look at verse number 4. It says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. You know, it goes ahead and talks about other things, and stripes, and imprisonments, and tumults, and labors, and watchings, and fastings. This came as being a minister of Christ. Look down at verse 10. You know, you think that he's talking negatively, but he says, as sorrowful, notice, yet always rejoicing. Remember what he said to the Philippians? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Well, it's not that he wasn't rejoicing. He did. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Think of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was both anointed with the oil of gladness, according to Hebrews 1:9, while at the same time was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, according to Isaiah 53:3. One can be joyful, even when emotionally sorrowful. So that sounds like an oxymoron. But even when the spirit is heavy, and even when one is acquainted with grief, we can still be joyful. I remember when my dad passed away, and I still miss my dad. It's been a good long time, 26 years, I think. And but when he died, there was a sorrow, because I would not be able to carry on conversation with my dad anymore here. And I had the sweet experience of going with him on his last call as a deacon the night before he died, and I knew of his service to the Lord. I knew he was faithful to the Lord and serving, and it was a joy to think of that. And it was a joy also to know of the life that he had given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd served in church for the 45 years that he had been saved, and He had been a deacon and had been a song leader. He and Mom had been married over just a little over 45 years. And so there was a sadness that I wouldn't be able to carry on with him anymore here, but there was also joy in knowing that he knew the Lord and I was going to go one of these days. And it was not goodbye for forever. It was goodbye for now. It was see you later is what it was. And so in the midst of a sorrowful time, when my spirit was heavy with grief, I was emotionally joyful also at the same time. Christian joy and rejoicing come from having a steadfast confidence in God, regardless of one's circumstances. It's something that we choose to have, and we do based on faith. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Look at, to begin with, verses number 1 through 3. Romans chapter number 5. Says here, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, notice, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us. Skip down to verse 11. It says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now, the words joy, glory, and rejoice, they're all translated from the same Greek word that means to boast or brag. Our boasting and bragging is not anything about what's on this earth. It's about what the Lord is doing. True joy should extend from our relationship with God. I'm not going to have you turn there, but I'm going to turn there briefly over in Psalm 5 and verse number 1. No, excuse me, verse number 11. Psalm 5 and verse number 11. And this is what it says. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Okay? For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him about as with a shield. So, true joy should extend from our relationship with God. Because our trust is in God, we should rejoice. Because God defends us, we should rejoice. Because we love God's name, we should be joyful in Him. Because we're blessed, we should rejoice. And because we enjoy the favor of God, we should rejoice. True joy also will extend from the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life. We know that joy is fruit of the Spirit. They're listed in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And it's the second one mentioned, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And it goes on. Expression of joy is related to being Spirit-filled. Ephesians 5, verse 18 through 20 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if we're not joyful, we need God to revive us again, don't we? We do. I mean, if you're not joyful this morning, if something has stole your joy, you need the Lord to revive you. Maybe it's sin that's given you a problem. Maybe you need to take and ask the Lord's forgiveness. I don't know what the deal might be this morning, but we know that The psalmist said in Psalm 85, verse 6, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" God wants to revive our hearts, and He will revive our hearts if we'll be obedient to Him. True joy can even flow while we are in difficult circumstances if we believe that God is in control. I don't know, y'all hear me preach all the time that no matter what goes on, the Lord is truly in control, okay? And so that when we know that the Lord is in control, and in Romans 8:28 says, well, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. When we realize there's absolutely nothing that can come against us and take away what we have in the Lord, what a blessing that is. Joy can come from suffering for the name of Christ. I'm going to leave it to you to look up 1 Peter 4 there and look at all of that. But, you know, what we have to do is we've got to get the right attitude toward the suffering that comes our way. And it if we get the right attitude, it'll result in our right action. I've given you some examples there of the apostles. The apostles there in Acts chapter number 5, verse 40 through 42, man, they had been beaten and said, "Don't you ever speak that name Jesus here again." And they went back to where they were, where their crowd was at, the other believers, and they were rejoicing. They weren't having the mully grubs. They weren't crying the blues. They were rejoiced that they were able to suffer for the name of Christ. We see Paul and Silas, and in Acts 16, they had been beaten and thrown into jail, and they're down there after having been beaten and incarcerated. And what do? They begin to sing praises unto the Lord. And what a blessing! And they were able to win somebody to the Lord that very night. And, of course, you know, that's what the Lord calls us to do. That verses we read in Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. They were being obedient to what the Lord said we need to do as far as being believers who were unjustly being treated. Joy can come from suffering in our physical bodies sometimes. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he wasn't getting any satisfaction of his prayers. His prayers weren't being answered. He went to the Lord three times praying that it'd be removed from him. And what happened? Well, the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." And what was his response to that? "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So let me ask in closing this morning, where is your joy? Do you only have a circumstantial joy? Are you only joyful and rejoicing as long as things are going great? Maybe you've never experienced the joy of the Lord in your life because you're lost. Listen, Christ has joy abundant waiting for you. Maybe you're saved, but you've allowed your joy to be lost due to situations in your life. I don't know what you're going through. I know we all go through times of, man, can't believe this is happening in my life. And we just do. We have those circumstances. Might be some of the things we've talked about this morning. Why not get your joy back? The joy of the Lord is your strength, according to Nehemiah 8:10. And isn't it time that we learn, that we all learn as believers to rejoice in the Lord, just like the Apostle Paul? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning.